This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the pastor here at Radio Mission at the Voice of Truth broadcast, where we send out the messages week after week over the Voice of Truth, Mini Rock Station, and then the Old Trailblazer. Let me give you my email address. It's pastor@radiomissions.org. And then our website is just radiomissions.org. And there you can go on our website, and you can find all the information that you would ever need about Radio Missions. We are live streaming our broadcast now over WLNO.com. That's www.WLNO.com. Every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock a.m. and then at 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock, the Bible school and the worship hour. And those broadcasts are going on day after day. But you can reach us at air code 504. Air code 225-665-2352. That's our new phone number that we have been giving out since the storm. So it's good to have you folks with us. I wish you'd sit down and write me and let me know that you're listening. And if you would, help me with the broadcast. We could go on many new stations. In fact, we've gone on two or three new stations. And so we have some new listening audience out there. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer. And we're bringing you a series of studies now, have been for quite a while, on the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're going on a new station down in Miami, Florida before long. We'll start there after the first of the year. So you pray for me. Pray with me about that broadcast, if you will. And then help us with the broadcast. We're looking at this study on the anticipated kingdom of our Lord. We're looking at when our Lord comes back and takes charge of the Antichrist. We're looking there. At this point in our study, the 24 elders which sit before the throne of God fall upon their faces and worship God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." We found that when the Lord Jesus Christ stepped forth and took the seal book out of the hand of Jehovah God and prepared to break the seals, they fell down and worshiped him as a kinsman redeemer, or the one who had the right to purchase this earth and redeem it. But here they speak of his power. They look upon him as the rightful ruler, King of kings and Lord of lords. The day of mercy is over. Man's rebellion has reached its full. Man's rebellion has reached its full. Man's defiance against God is at its end. Our Lord now takes the power and authority that is his and steps forth in rapid judgment to clear the earth of the usurper and take over the right to reign and to rule. And our cry is, amen, amen, like the Apostle John. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. There in Revelation 22:20. In this 18th verse, here in the 11th chapter, we find set forth the fivefold results of the Lord Jesus Christ taking his power. And I want you to listen to this. First, we see the nations were angry. Second, the wrath is come. Third, the time of the dead, and they should be judged. Fourthly, give reward to thy servants. And fifth, thou shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Now let's look at each one of these separately. Take a little time there with them. First, the nations were angry. The anger of the inhabitants of the earth at heaven's rule on earth is unbounded. It's unbounded. Yes, you can't describe it. And David said in Psalms 2, "Why do the heathens rage?" And in Psalms 83, we find these words, "For lo, thy enemies like a tumult, and thy enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up their head." Then the old prophet Joel gives us a picture of those days in these words, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up, beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears." This doesn't look like a sign of peace, does it? No, it shows man's utter rebellion against God. It is a picture of the nations angry with God. The nations are angry with God now because they cannot have their own way. Do you find that to be true, my friend? I do. I have folks who tell me that they know the Lord, that they're saved. And yet, when something crosses their grain, some little something that I say or someone says, oh, you see that old heart flare up, that old nature flared up, and you can mark it down in your day book, put it down in your pipe and smoke it, that they don't know anything about salvation in Christ. What is salvation, you ask? It's a deliverance from sin. The scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I ask you at this time, maybe morning, maybe late at night, maybe early in the morning up there on KAY or WCKY in Cincinnati, wherever you are, old trucker out there on the highway, may I ask you, do you know the Lord? You say, what does that mean, Pastor? What does that mean, Trailblazer? It means, are you aware that your sins are under the blood? Are you aware in your knowledge, do you know that your sins are all forgiven? Are they all forgiven? Are they under the blood? Can you sing that song with us, Under the Blood of Jesus, safe in the shepherd's fold? Oh, my friend, I wish I could sing it, but I can't. In this 18th verse, as I said, we're going to see these five results of the Lord coming back. Now, let's look at another. The hatred of fallen, rebellious men against the Lord Jesus Christ is so great. It's so great. His enmity began back under in the Garden of Eden with Cain and Abel. Oh, listen, Cain utterly rejected Jehovah's interference with his plan. Can I bring you that little portion today? Adam and Eve taught those two boys how to be saved, how to worship. So the time came when they became of age, they built an altar there in the garden. And Abel brought a lamb. He brought a lamb, a firstling of his flock, and sacrificed it there on the altar. He dressed it, cut his throat, let the blood run down, and the fire came down from heaven and licked it up. And then Cain came. He knew exactly the same thing that Abel knew, but he brought the fruit of the field. He brought the best that he had. He brought all of the fine vegetables that he had raised there in the garden. He brought the best that he had. And I have folks who sit under my preaching that bring the best that they have. They do everything that they can to make an atonement for their sin, except trusting the Lord. They give of their substance. They work their toenails and their fingernails to the bone, trying to do for something. They give to the pastor. They bring me cakes and pies and all of those things, thinking that it will make it'll do good. They think it'll do good, but it won't. They do the best they can. They're kind. They're gentle. They know what they know exactly. They believe that their righteousness will be because of what they have done. But oh, my friend, listen. We just have to go on day by day. We just have to go on day by day trusting the Lord. That's salvation, trusting the Lord. Not in those things that we bring to the Lord. I ask you again, trucker, are you saved? You say, well, I'm saved. I work 23 hours a day and I don't have time. No, my friend, take time to search the scriptures. Get you a Bible there in the next place you come up on. If you need one, you write me, I'll send you one. You write me, I'll send you a Bible. Free and postpaid. You old trucker. Let me know where to send it to. But I wish you would. Now we're looking there again. Man is rebellious against God. His enmity began back there in the Garden of Eden. As I was telling you, Cain came there and brought those vegetables and he laid them out in a beautiful display. And he stood back and he waited for the fire to come down. But it never came. The fire never came. And he was mad. He got mad because God rejected his offering. Had he brought a lamb, he would have been accepted. Did you know that he could have asked Abel for a lamb? There was no excuse. Did you know you won't have any excuse when it comes time for the judgment? You won't have any excuse. You won't say, well, that old trailblazer, he didn't tell me how to be saved. Yes, he did. He didn't tell me that I must come to him as a lost sinner. Yes, he did. He didn't tell me that I couldn't bring my turnips and mustard green and all. Yes, he did. He told you, salvation is trusting the Lord, bringing nothing in my hands, nothing I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Oh, my friend, are you clinging to the cross today? I am. The old trailblazer is clinging. Cain utterly rejected Jehovah's interference with his plan. His plan was to bring those things. Man, since his fall, has wanted to have his own way, and he wants to be let alone. He wants to be let alone. I visit folks in the hospital on their dying bed, and I ask them about their soul, and they say, "I'm all right. Leave me alone, I'm all right. Leave me alone, I'm all right." Oh, my friend, I pray that the Lord won't let you alone. As man cannot reach God himself, he takes it out upon God's servant. He takes his venom, he spits his venom out on God's servant and God's children. Saul pursued David like a partridge in the mountain, day in and day out, day in and day out. Oh, Saul hunted him down like I don't know what. But listen, my friend, day by day. And nothing you and I can do about that. But Saul went down. Saul pursued him. Ahab and Jezebel hunted the prophet Elijah like a man would hunt a deer. When once the old prophet took over control of the elements and said it would not rain except at his word. Oh, it made him so mad. Why has wicked, rebellious men slain the prophet throughout the ages? Only because they have asserted and set forth Jehovah's authority over the consciences of men. When I bring you God's message, day after day, week after week, thus saith the Lord, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that it's a judgment. Folks get mad with me. Folks get angry with me. I have folks write me letters and tell me, "You old fool, get alive. Read John 3:16, and I do. And I tell them, I read John 3:16, and I read John 3:18 and 19. I wish you'd go there and read it. Listen, I can't quote it. My mind's in a whirl this morning. But let me tell you this. John said, "For God so loved the world." He did. The Bible says he did. He loved the world, but he hates sin. Did you know that God is angry with the wicked every day? God is angry with you. If you're walking in sin, God is angry with you. His wrath hangs over your head like a black cloud. Oh, my friend, just like a dark cloud following you around day by day. That's how the Lord hates sin. Now, let's look again. They say, "We'll not have this man to rule over," speaking of Christ. The Gentiles in Pilate's court scourged his back, platted a crown of thorns, and placed it on his brow, and dressed him as in a scarlet robe, put a reed in his hand, and marched him before a mock king, making fun of him, and listen, daring to assert his authority over him. Paul was beheaded by King Nero because he preached another king, our Lord Jesus Christ. Anytime God's man stands in the pulpit, stands behind a microphone, it's going to be someone who won't like it. They'll take opposition to it. You say, "Oh, I'm not in opposition." Well, if you're not saved, you are. Did you know if you're not saved, you're in rebellion against God? You're a rebel in God's sight. Why would you do that? Why would you want to do that, my friend? Oh, but listen. Then I wish you'd go back there and read some of those stories in the Book of Martyrs and see how the path from the cross to the present hour has been stained with blood. All down through the ages, men of God were burned at the stake, chopped the head off on the guillotine. Those things, because they hated God. Now, all of those things, folks tell me today, brother, just pray for me. Pray for me, brother. And then they call me and they say, "Our preacher only preaches to suit folks." I've gotten letters lately that said, Our preacher never preaches on sin. He never tells anything about sin and judgment. He only preaches a smooth thing that makes people want to join the church. But listen, folks, would you pray for the old trailblazer? I'm not very smart. I'm just trying to get out the gospel, bringing you thus saith the Lord. Remember my mailing address, the old trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.